This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to all of you. We're glad that you're here so that we can celebrate our salvation in Jesus Christ and give thanks to God for that free gift of grace. If you notice in the bulletin, there's two things. Parents, we're going to have another Bible Belt event for the children coming up, so put that on your calendar. Also, if you're here next Sunday, come hungry. It's going to be our rally day. We're going to give thanks to our teachers as well as prayers, give them recognition. And afterwards, the Christian Education Committee is going to provide lunch in the fellowship hall. So I hope you're here next Sunday so that you can not only be hungry for God's Word, but physically hungry for good food after worship. So be aware of those events. Make sure you take the prayer list home and keep those people in your prayers. If you will, turn to those around you. Welcome one another with the peace that is ours in Jesus Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Join me, please, in the call to worship. We gather in the name of the living Christ to worship God. God's love is for you and for all people everywhere. May we get ready. May we open our eyes. God is here among us. And let us pray. We are glad that you are here among us, O God. And this morning we come to give thanks for the salvation that is indeed ours in Jesus Christ. We come to give thanks for the defeat of death that was accomplished by your Son. We come to praise you for the forgiveness of Jesus that destroys our sin. We're glad for the free gift of grace which raises us to new life. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that sustains us along the way. Our request this morning is that you would come, and be present among us, your people, that you would let your Holy Spirit stand by our side to lead us into your paths of blessing. For happy are those whose strength is in you. We gladly pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen. If you will, let's stand and let's praise the Lord. Let's do that with hymn 284. O God, what you ordain is right. Let's sing that hymn 284.
Wanting a right relationship with God, King David acknowledged his sin and prayed for mercy when he said, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Knowing that Jesus is eager to redeem God's people, may this prayer be our prayer. Let us together confess our sins using this prayer of confession in the bulletin. Merciful God, the story of Jacob shows your willingness to enter into the messiness of our human struggles, into fractured relationships, family differences, unreconciled situations with people we care about. We confess that too often we cling to and hold tightly to selfish desires and vain ambitions. We often live dislocated lives because we do not love what you love and value what you value. In your mercy, help us to wrestle with conflicting values, desires, and pressures which confront us daily, so that we may unclench our hands and open ourselves to the transforming power of your presence. We ask this in the name of Christ our Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen.
Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Know that thanks be to Jesus Christ, you are indeed forgiven, and be at peace. Let's celebrate this forgiveness as we stand and sing together the Gloria Patri. In a liturgical worship service like we celebrate here, the pattern of worship is one of sitting and standing and sitting and standing some more. But the idea is that as the good news of God's great blessing goes forth, it causes us to leap to our feet with joy. That as God is being revealed, we're learning to respond to the Lord. And so that's why after the prayer of forgiveness, we jumped up and sang the Gloria Patri. We're thankful that we are a forgiven and redeemed people. And now what we do is we contemplate God's blessing in our lives. And what we will do as we realize God is a God of blessing, we'll once again come to our feet to sing that doxology. For we are learning that praise be to God, from whom all blessings flow. Let this be a time where, as we think about God's blessings, we think about how we can respond with our time or our talent or even, yes, our resources. But with any of those, let us give generously as the Lord has generously given to us so that we can bless the world with the love of Jesus Christ.
Dear Lord, this morning we come before you with hearts filled with gratitude for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, all the blessings of which we know and all the blessings which are unknown by us. Thank you, Lord, for your creation, your many blessings, the universe, creating man and woman and marriage and families, your perfect system of justice and your loving kindness, your covenants with us, in which you will never abandon or forsake us. And God, thank you for love. In this coming week, let us be thankful for our church and our church family and the church that you have also created and given to us. Thank you for your love. Let us show your love in this coming week to others as you would have us do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
People want to come forward, feel free to come on up at this time and we'll just chat for a moment. Hey, Lexi, how are you? Hi, guys. What do I have here? A trophy. Yeah. It's a trophy from way back when. I'll put that right there. I want to ask y'all, have y'all ever gotten a medal or a ribbon or a trophy? What'd you get one for? Soccer. What'd you get, a trophy? Yes. Soccer trophy. What about you? Did you get a ribbon or a medal or a trophy?
Medal.
You got a medal? What'd you get one for? Do you remember? What'd you get one for?
Softball.
Softball, okay. Yeah, I hear your team was pretty good, so, okay. It's pretty neat when you get awards like that, a ribbon or a medal or a trophy, and they're often given because we've been in a sport or an event in which we've competed and people want us to be recognized. Well, I don't know how much you've thought about sports in the Bible, but the Bible gives us this image of being in sports. And I want you to listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Softball, soccer, whatever. Have y'all ever run in a race? Yeah, okay. Did you have people cheer for you? Was it fun? Has it been fun having people cheer for you? Yeah, it can get kind of neat when the crowd goes wild and you're out there running. Well, I want you to think about running a race and receiving the prize, the trophy. And I want to tell you about a real story about a guy from Britain. In the Olympics, they were having the Summer Games in Spain. And there was a guy named Derek Redmond from Britain, and he was in the 400-meter race. And that's they run all the way around the track. It wasn't just a real quick one. They went all the way around the track. Well, he was a good runner, this guy from Britain named Derek. And he started running, and he was running faster than anybody else. And he got ahead of the pack. And as he was rounding the turn for that final last stretch of the race, he suddenly grabbed the back of his leg and he fell down. Guess what happened? He pulled a muscle. I don't know if you've ever pulled a muscle on your leg, but boy, it hurts. And he laid there on the ground grabbing his leg, and then finally he got up. And they had some paramedics, some guys, you know, that worked the ambulance. They came running over, and he was telling them to stay away. And he tried to hop his way to the finish line. You know what happened? His dad, who was watching the race, pushed his way past some security guards, ran onto the track, and said, "Son, you don't have to do this. You're hurt." And his son said, "Yes, I do." And his dad said, "Well, let me help you." And his dad put his arm around his son, and together they limped their way until they made it across the finish line. Now, I want you to know, Derek did not win the gold medal, but he did have the loving memory of a loving father that helped him finish the race of his life. Life can be like a race. And Hebrews says, let's focus on Jesus, because like the dad that came out of the stands and picked up his son, that's what God will do for us. He's going to guarantee that we not only run the race of life, but that we're able to finish it and get our prize. The glory of knowing we've made it into God's home in heaven. So what I want you to think about and remember this morning is if life gets really hard or even painful, we can trust God to help us stay focused on the finish line as Jesus enables us by His presence with us to run the race. I hope y'all will remember that. Let's pray that, okay? Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. Let's talk to God. Heavenly Father, do help us run this race of life, and to do it by putting our faith and trust in You, so that we not only have the joy of running, but we know the thrill of crossing the finish line, for You make it all possible. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. Y'all give them a round of applause for coming up here. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that a lot. We'll sing our next hymn. So if you want to grab the hymnal again, stand. Let's turn to hymn 275, God of Our Life, hymn 275. Let's sing that together.
Thank you.
The New Testament lesson today is out of Hebrews, chapter 11, 1 through 10, page 225 in the Bible. We're all the members of a radical faith. Our faith is defined in Hebrews. It's also portrayed through the Old Testament characters. Faith is believing, trusting the invisible God. It is knowing the unseen realities of the divine purpose for our lives. For we do live by faith and not by sight. As we hear these words, let us reflect on our faith and what we truly believe. May we prayerfully ask God to allow our beliefs to shape the way we live. Hear now God's word out of Hebrews chapter 11 if you want to follow along. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things which are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Through this, he received approval as righteous. God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is the word of the Lord.
Mountains.
Look this morning at another character of faith in the book of Genesis whose name is Jacob, and you can turn to chapter 28 if you'd like. But I want to tell you about two businessmen that were taking their private jet on a business trip toward Asia, and their plane crash landed out in the Pacific, and they ended up on this remote deserted island. When they were on shore, they'd both survived. One of them immediately walked around the island to survey and assess their situation, and he came back and he told the other guy, "There's no inhabitants here. I don't see food growing anywhere, and there's no fresh water." His friend folded his arms and he leaned back against a piece of the plane wreckage and smiled. He said, "Well, don't worry about it. I make $100,000 a week." And his friend said, "Don't you get it? We're on a deserted island. There's no food. There's no water. We're going to die." And his friend said, "This can be the last time I say it. So listen. I make over $100,000 a week. I tithe my income, and trust me, my pastor will find me." What we're going to learn today is that when we're in a tough place, even if it's a tough place of our own making, someone much, much, and thank goodness, greater than your pastor will find you and transform you. Let me pray and we'll hear what God has to say. Lord, we ask that like your word which went out in the beginning of creation, that it would go forth today and create an order in us new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be reading Genesis 28, verse 10 through 22. Jacob left Beersheba and he went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and he stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and he lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and he said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning and he took the stone that he had put under his head and he set it up for a pillar and he poured oil on the top of it and he called the place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, if you've been to church camp or vacation Bible school or you've sung your way through an older hymnal, then I am sure you have become familiar with Jacob's ladder. This morning we find that the crafty old Jacob is approximately 50 miles from home. You see, he's begun a journey from home because he needs to flee from his older brother that's mad at him. He's running for his very life. Crafty old Jacob, has stolen his brother's inheritance. He had gone and deceived his father, who was blind. And so it was through his greed and his deception, Jacob has hit the jackpot. He's gotten the family money. It's all now his. But he's stolen wealth that should have been his brother's, and so he escapes. Here at this place called Bethel with a pillow made of stone, probably not much like that My Pillow guy on TV that's always advertising, I'm sure. But there with that stone as a pillar, Jacob dreams of a ladder that stretches from heaven all the way down to earth. The ladder is significant. It's something that is used as a metaphor even today for climbing our way to the top. Many people, like Jacob, will do anything to climb the proverbial ladder of success, believing that if we make it to the top, we'll have all we need. Jacob must have thought that if he had his brother's inheritance, he'd have all he needed. He'd have it made. Life would be great. Rabbi Harold Kushner suggests the ladder in Jacob's dream represents the distance between who we are and who God intends us to be. And I find it very interesting that the ladder in Jacob's dream is not one he climbs, nor is it a ladder that he constructs. You see, Jacob's been busy climbing his own ladder. It's a ladder of his own making, one where he believed would take him to the top. But as it turns out, it's caused him to have to flee for his life far away from his brother and family. Jacob's own ladder could be seen as a ladder of greed. Grab what you can while you can. Success for him meant getting the better of the other person before they get the best of you. Can't blame him. After all, we hear in living this life of ours, it's the survival of the fittest, right? It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, we say, when it comes to climbing the ladder of success or prosperity. Now, if there's any Star Wars enthusiasts out there, George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars, was asked why the character Anakin Skywalker became the very evil Darth Vader. And George Lucas replied by saying, "He cannot let go of things. That makes you greedy. When you're greedy, you're on the path of the dark side." Well, with those words, I guess that Darth Vader and Jacob have something in common. They both have been led to the dark side. But you know, Jacob's ladder could also be seen as a ladder of competition, but the type of competition where you do whatever it takes to win with no consideration whatsoever for the other person. Climbing the ladder of his own making, he must have thought somebody had to win, which meant that somebody had to lose, and it wasn't going to be him that ended up lost or last. And that reminds me, I never thought I'd quote Ricky Bobby from Talladega Nights in a sermon, but Ricky Bobby says, "If you ain't first, you're last." A sign that was once seen at the Olympics read, "You don't win the silver medal, you lose the gold." And such is representative of the belief system of the world in which we live. I wish we had more examples like that of the Williams sisters playing against each other for the Wimbledon Tennis Championship as they did. The sisters, although playing to indeed win the gold, they didn't hate each other, although they did both try hard to win. And when Venus Williams lost to Serena Williams, she was asked if this would be if the win would come between them or the loss would come between them, to which she replied, "Not at all. You know, 10 years from now, we'll both be retired and we'll still be sisters." I like that she had the proper focus and truth about the way their life was lived. But here in Jacob's dream, there's a new ladder. The one of his, it's one that's not of his own making. The one of his own making, climbing to the top of it has only led him to isolation and broken relationships. Maybe he sleeps because he's grown tired of climbing his own ladder. Some people get tired and frustrated because they don't get what they want, or they get what they want and they discover it isn't nearly as rewarding as they thought it would be. So with a stone for a pillow and fleeing for his life, having gained seemingly everything, but so close to having nothing at all, Jacob is in the place where he can discover the wondrous resources of a God who fails us not. If you've ever been climbing up the wrong ladder, if you discover you've gone too far out on a limb of isolation, if, like Jacob, you've really missed the mark, I want you to know you can still discover the God who never, ever, ever gives up on his own. It's true, Jacob certainly hasn't heard or understood God's calling for his life. He hasn't grasped the notion of blessing that God provides, but God comes to him anyway. God constructs a ladder from heaven that reaches all the way down to earth so that God can come down to be with his own. Verse 13 says, and it's easy to just skip over it, but verse 13 states, "The Lord stood beside him." And those are no small words. You see, God could have let Jacob keep climbing the tiring ladder that leads to nowhere, but God didn't. God stood beside him. Let me tell you, even if we miss the mark and we blow it, and God constructs a ladder so that he can come to us and stand beside us, the Bible doesn't get any better in telling us things like that. God stood beside Jacob, and he promises, I'm the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and your offspring. Wow. Really? Yes, really. Jacob is getting something he didn't deserve, nor had he earned. But God had a promise made long ago, and God doesn't break his promises, even if we fail on our end of the deal. If you think for a moment, I think you'll agree the best gifts in life are free. The beauty of the earth, the air we breathe, the sun that shines, the birds that sing, these are just a few of my favorite things. We may earn a living, but in a reflective moment like now in church, we can realize we've been given a life. One that God stands next to, and because God believes it is so precious in His sight, it's one that the Creator wants to bless. There's a children's book about a caterpillar named Stripe. Stripe bursts forth from his egg, and straight away he begins eating the very leaf on which he was born. Stripe then eats leaf after leaf after leaf. And bored by getting bigger, Stripe crawled down the friendly tree on which he was born in search of something more. But nothing seemed to really satisfy. Stripe found and he joined a group of climbers. The climbers were determined to rise above the average caterpillar, so climbing they did. He climbed up, but then he climbed down. Still looking for something that would satisfy. He frolicked in the grass with a lady named Yellow. But it wasn't until Stripe stopped and grew very, very still and waited in what became an utter darkness that Stripe transformed into a butterfly. Stripe, Jacob, us. God wants to make something beautiful of your life. That night at Bethel, caught between a rock and a hard place, God came and he stood by his side, and Jacob went from achieving to receiving. It wasn't really Jacob's ladder that night, it was God's ladder. One that God used to come to Jacob. And the Lord says to Jacob in verse 15 to 17, know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you. I'm with you. That's compassion. I will watch over you. That's protection. I'll bring you back. That's guidance. I'll never leave you or forsake you. That is steadfast, faithful companionship. I think maybe the only way we truly deal with our own narcissism is to come face to face with a power and presence that is not only bigger but better than our own. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it, Jacob realizes. And it was that night Jacob went from getting and grabbing to giving. His vow, his response to the blessing of God's presence was, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone that I've set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you. Life is the God who comes with blessing to stand at our side, no matter what situation we're in. That, I think, is the type of faith we heard the book of Hebrews point to earlier. So may we respond to God in faith. And because God is revealed through His Word, we do know something of what we believe. Let's stand and, as God's people, declare what we believe. And let's use the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found there in your bulletin. But let us declare what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Because God is with us and for us, let us go to God with our prayers. God, thank you for being so faithful in blessing your people. Whether we're at our very worst or very best, you're always present, seeing to it that what you have promised does indeed come to fruition. And because of that, we really do not have anything to fear. We can put our hope in you and know that because you are so reliable and enduring, we can go forth with great confidence. We can learn with you traveling at our side that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So help us discover as we live day by day in faith that our greatest strength is in you. And Lord, I do know that there are those in our midst that feel caught between a rock and a hard place. There's so many people right now that we can name in our hearts that are on our prayer list, but for folks like Marty and Barbara and Cy, for Happy who's recovering from surgery, for Frank who has been having a tough way, to Martha, to so many, to Dorothy who feels so weak right now. There's so many we raise up to you. Christine, we'll keep remembering them throughout the day. But we lift them up because we know you can be their healer, their redeemer, the one who not only changes their situation and the outcome, but who can transform their life. We do ask by the presence of your Holy Spirit, we would live as transformed people who are discovering daily your blessing and learning not to get, but to give that blessing away to others so that your love is made manifest in the world in which we live. Empower us, not only individually, but as a church, to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ, where we are all sent by you to go forth and love our neighbors just as you have loved us. World and send us forth to be your lights that shine in any darkness that might be present. Receive us as we come to you now, praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our going out hymn, which is God Be With You. It's there. The words are there in the bulletin. Let us stand and sing that together. God be with you. Love of God, the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be in you and with you, now and forever. Amen.